to. What is the preparation for?
Preparation is selector 122. And just like I told you, that he works through the circle for the whole universe.
Work for them, with them, through them.
Do you know what he has said? Once there is a statement from Baba, direct statement, it's a quote. God's work is more important than God. God's work is more important than God.
And for that he would go to any length, any pains he would take to where his work was concerned. We have seen that again and again. Look at the fasts and things, but those were the outward things. Those are the tangible things we can talk about, but in many, many ways.
And then we used to get attached to his form naturally, and he had to constantly remind us that it is not, this is not the real, this is just a coat that he has donned. So he would time and again, he would of course draw us through his form. Through his form only we came to him. Didn't we come to him through his form? Seeing him, hearing him through his form and all that. But then, why did he attract us to his form? Because through the form he could tell us that he is not, that which we see is not real. He has just put on a coat. Behind it is reality.
But because he is reality, Erich, even his form, while his form was with us, even the things that he told us were illusory, somehow had spark in them, had life. Because he is the reality, even if, when he is an illusion in man form, even illusory things have a stamp of reality. Mm-hmm. And they have a life, a spark, which, as I said, when Baba dropped his form, we realized in an instant what he was telling us for 40 years, that is all illusion. And taking the form could be like compared to, he's the ocean, right? Ocean of love and truth, God. But how does one approach the ocean unless there is a shore, there is a beach? And from time to time when it takes on a man form, it's like the beach, the shore. So we can approach the ocean. We can, if we dare plunge in it or wade in it, or get distracted by the number of shells that are there, like those who follow lesser ones or false ones. You see, we neglect the ocean by being drawn to the shells. But the ocean is visible, approachable. You meet it only
experience
when there's a shore.
Because of
so
the
man form is like that. Again and again it happens. So we're there. It's tangible. That's when we learn he loves us. That's where we learn that he tells us we can love him more and more. So Baba made a little poem once. Call Baba back to the shore, ne? At the side go.
You followed this simile? That his advent is nothing other than the shore, so to say. So that he makes us approachable to his infinity.
So it's pretty nice.
But once I still remember, one day he had returned to this place, very place, this seat here, and he one day in his humorous way started telling me about how the great things were done there and how people were very happy in his presence and how he had given a discourse on everything being mundane, illusion, and everything being illusory, and he alone is reality and all that. So he recalled all that in his conversation here, and he says, even this body of mine is illusory. This is just a coat that I don and all that. And then what he added, you know, to me here, this is how hypocritical on my part, to allow them to come to me here, and they revere me as reality. Although they revere not me, but they revere this coat, you see. The garment that I don, the reality becomes visible to us because of this advent, this form, man form of God. Through it only we can have some concept of reality. The inconceivable is made conceivable through his form. But then what happens whenever we approach him, we approach not the reality but him. So he says, how hypocritical on my part to allow them to approach me like that. You follow what he says? But then he says, it is, in a way, a better type of hypocrisy. Because only through this hypocrisy can I bring them the sense of reality.
Because
do you follow this?
His form couldn't hide, couldn't be completely concealed. It is his humanness which has revealed his divinity to us than anything else. We did not come to him for anything. To us, Baba, God-man, was so complete that there was nothing beyond him to long for. There is nothing beyond him to long for or to reach out, because Baba is so complete. And that is in his humanness, because his human form could not conceal that which came through. And we didn't literally come to Baba because he's God, or because he will give us this, or because of God realization. Those things we only heard from those who would be visiting, you know. And it seemed like a foreign language. To us it was not that. Just Baba, he's so complete. There's nothing beside him.
I remember in Guru Prasad there came a lady who was a theosophist. And of course before Baba entered the hall, we had to be there to make arrangements and all that, to see whether everything is in order. The women have sat on one side, the men on one side. There is an aisle created for Baba to walk, all that. So there was still time for Baba to have his seat. So there was one lady who had come there. I still remember that her words. So she was waiting, impatient. She was very impatient. It was summertime. Invariably, you would go to Guru Prasad when it's the heat of summer is intense there. And all were packed in one hall. To such a degree, you see, the crowd would be such. Sometimes I would find beads of perspiration on the walls. It's a fact. Because of the human breath, you know, getting condensed there. So she, through impatience, she remarked this. She says, what's all these people coming over here, you see? God is absolute. I believe in the absolute, the formless one. How can anybody who has a form be God, you see? She was telling all the those who were around her, she was giving out, you see, her mind to those. She must have gathered from all sorts of literature, you see, she had read and all that. So I was patiently hearing that, casually and all. I kept quiet, said nothing about it. But you won't believe, when Baba entered the hall, naturally all stood up and all that. And then he took his seat and Baba made them sit down, and Baba then inquired. Some personal little touches were given to some close ones and all that. And then he all of a sudden tells the crowd, the same theme again, we repeat, that, you know, God is inconceivable, cannot be theorized, cannot be understood, he is absolute and all that. The same thing that was in our mind, you see, he went on. But then, why is it that you all are all assembled over here and I have called you? In order that you should be told about it. Unless and until I call you and gather you around me in this form, you will never conceive the inconceivable. He is inconceivable, but he can be realized and experienced only through your coming to me. And I must tell you, you all have come over here in order to hear that he is inconceivable. So that's what settled her, you see. Another thing that I wanted to tell you all, you remember Bevan? In the bus I said that when we stopped at Doka, the confluence of the two rivers, that this river leads to another big place, Godavari, and south of India in Andhra. There's a huge temple that is built over there, you see. And they wanted to install a life-size statue of Baba there. And Baba has been always, time and again, repeating that he has come here. In this advent, he has come to do away with all rites, rituals and ceremonies of all the religions in the world. So people wonder as to how is it that in his lifetime, he permitted his lovers to create life-size statues of him. It's but natural, logical for any mind to think in such light. But then there were a lot of arguments over here. People from the south had come over here, begging Baba to permit them to have a life-size statue. Why? Says, here those who live with him, they have him in body and flesh. We have just a concept of his being here at Mehrabad and Mehrazad and other places wherever he goes. But what do? We starve without his physical presence. So at least let us have a semblance of his physical presence in creating a statue. Baba wouldn't want it. So often he would just brush aside the request and pleading. But then there was a deputation that came over here and begged of Baba to permit them to have it. So then Baba, because he is the slave of the love of his lovers, he has said, he permits himself. So what happens is, permits himself to allow the whims of his lovers to be carried out. So he permitted them to construct a big building, a prayer hall, and install a life-size statue there, on condition that there should be inscribed in stone the 8 messages that he has given. Have you all, do you know about those 8 messages? Here they are. Yeah, I said I will read out to you. And it's very important for the world to know this. So wherever the life-size statues are, you'll find these messages inscribed. And what are they? Who can read very well in English? Has anybody got a good delivery? Then good. Read it loud.
Tear the curtain of set ceremonies and rituals, and you will find that I am the worshipped, the worship, and the worshipper. To clothe simple worship with the garments of ceremony and ritual is to expose me to the cold winds of ignorance. To faithfully love God-man is to truly worship God. To find me here in Meristan, search the depth of your heart. Meristan has been built for me with love, but I may only be found here by my lover, who brings me here in his heart. As the heart is, so is the house. As the eye is, so is the image within the house. The heart of man has always been the ancient temple for the worship of the ancient one. Nothing can house the ancient one that does not house love.
So these are the 8 messages. They are inscribed in stone for posterity. And he insisted upon it. Not just a painting or anything of the sort, but real letters carved out in stone so that they remain for posterity. There's this whole issue on the subject of that, rites, rituals and ceremonies. How he had to do away with these things. Alright, now what else? What other questions? Yeah, Gil?
I can't think of any.
Norman?
Oh, there was one other question, and there may be no answer, but one of the questions that Andy and I discussed was there any mention about, during his incarnation as Jesus, or during his lifetime as Jesus, the stature that Mary, his mother, had? Is there any esoteric or any reason behind the status given her by so many of the Christian churches? Is there any reason behind that you know about?
It is so logical, simple, you see. The status that has been given to her as the mother of God is there.
Mm-hmm.
Because out of her was born the God-man. So it is but natural for her to be revered. He has said one important thing to us. That's why I said that he always says that how natural he is. So he says that there is no such thing as virgin birth or anything of the sort. He has told me that, definitely. It was just a natural birth, you see. His being as Jesus, you see, born as Jesus, delivered as Jesus, was in the most natural way.
So the stories that arose of virgin birth were added afterwards.
Yes. He says, whenever I come, time and again, I come as man amongst men. So anything that that smacks of something supernatural about the man who has come amongst men as man is to be taken with a pinch of salt. Or it may be, or you should be indulgent, because naturally the lovers of that particular advent would want to extol him to the highest, because he is the highest of the high. He is in the realm of impossibilities, which is made possible, you know. Yeah. Because he reaches beyond. So even the impossibilities are can be made possible. There's nothing to wonder about it. Even if he were to be born, you see, have a concept of immaculate birth, you know, that's possible. But he says that I take the most natural course.
When they say immaculate birth, could it be that the entity itself looks immaculate?
Yeah, that should be taken that. Yeah, how pure she must be, how good she must be, that God had to find a vehicle through her, you see, make her the vehicle of his advent. So that's how we have to take it. Yeah, Tim, what are the questions? Billy has said that he will ask you questions. So now come on, tell us. Yeah.
No, I can't think of any right now. I'll think about it by myself.
Well, one of the reasons I raised the question about Mary is that the Catholic Church it is now recognized Catholic dogma and doctrine that Mary no longer took any more incarnations. After dropping the body, that she entered the realm of angels, never to realize God, but then again never to have births again, that she was given special status. And I'm just wondering, it seems most of the myths that surround religions often tend to have some basis in esoteric fact.
Yeah.
Sort of
it's symbolic. True. It's symbolic.
Yeah.
What they say. Yeah. But
yeah,
then for the layman to understand, this is the only way that
impossible.
Yes. No, for the layman to understand it and say, yes, I understand it, is to say that now she has turned into an angel. You see. Only Baba has revealed through God Speaks and other things, you see, about the status of an angel. Angels crave to become human beings, you know, so that they can love God through their human form. That's what Baba told us. Angels and archangels have their own status, have their own offices, have their own functions, but they also long to become human in order to love him as he should be loved. The whole game is to plunge yourself into this game of love.
And to achieve God realization.
And yes, and attain through that. That's
oh,
the
they have God realization.
That love.
Yeah. They have liberation.
It.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have what?
Liberation, not God realization. There is difference. Liberation only they enjoy
bliss.
Infinite bliss.
Yes.
Mm.
So what's wrong with that?
Nothing. That's your nature. What is there that you have attained afterwards? Suppose if you get liberated now, at this instant, you will experience your true nature. That is, you remain in infinite bliss. That's your true nature. God's nature is infinite bliss. That's all. Realization carries with it the knowledge, through ignorance that you gain, the power that is there, you see. The whole vista opens, you see, of the whole thing.
I thought everyone gain God realization. Yeah.
It's your birthright to gain God realization, but then most of them get liberated, emancipated. That is known as emancipate yourself from the birth of this birth and death, round of birth and death.
Is there anything to the damnation of?
Huh?
Well, what about after liberation? Is there anything after that? I mean, so you just
experience your true nature. Yeah,
never
infinite bliss.
But how could you be in infinite
without
bliss
a body?
If you wanted to become
without a body?
God?
Yes,
without
liberation is without a body. Yeah. Pardon?
How could you experience infinite bliss if you still wanted to become one with God? I mean, it's not imperfect.
But then, if you want to become one with God,
yeah,
you become one with God by realizing your true nature. You
but
realize
angels
that.
Can't.
Huh?
But angels can't.
Angels can't. Yeah. they get, they love, and they get emancipated. So.
Is there anything at all to the idea, the myth, or the rumor that there are such things as lost souls, souls that actually somehow do not reach either state, but that somehow get...
Yeah, there have been instances, you see, in the epics and mythology, there are references like that. Even Baba has even referred to that, called the lost soul, that is, exception is of the fourth plane, when they misuse.
That's the only exception.
Yeah, that's the only exception, Baba says, of retrograde consciousness.
But forever and ever and ever, there'd be a lost soul forever and ever?
No. His compassion, yeah.
That's because it's part of him.
You remember one?
Forever and ever.
Yeah, no. Cannot be, yeah. Nothing, there's nothing such that, no loss. Because of his infinite compassion. You know, one day somebody came over here and said that, do you recall, Eraj? Baba said that hypocrisy is such that even God will never forgive. Have you all come across that sentence?
Yeah. Oh yes, there are scriptures in the Christian scriptures that...
I don't know, even in Baba's this message there is a... that even God will never forgive hypocrisy. That's what Baba has warned us, you see, not to be hypocritical. So somebody came and asked me that. So then what will happen to the person who is hypocritical? That means he's condemned forever and forever and ever. So I was stumped, you see, because I never read any literature or anything. But I knew one little thing, that it is impossible, because he is the embodiment of infinite compassion. It is not possible, you see, never. So I said, where is it? So he went to the cupboard there and searched the book and gave me the sentence. I said, yes, it is said God never forgives, but God-man does forgive. You follow that? I was stumped myself, you see. How can I say now what? But His grace put this thought in me. It's the God-man who forgives.
That's why they said, hold on.
Hello. Oh, look at these people.
Oh, beloved God, help us all to love you more and more, God,
yes.
And more and more, and still yet more.
Mm-hmm.
And
help us all.
And help us all to hold fast to
Baba's
Dhamma till the very end. And when Baba would forgive, again and again we have seen that gesture of Baba. He would say, all right, I forgive. And it was at that time those who were around seeing that gesture of Baba saying, I forgive. It was as if it covered, it was like an ocean that just spread over the whole shore. There would not be a trace left. It would be so complete, so vast, that it took your breath away every time you heard it, whether it was for a very small thing, and Baba would say, now next time don't do it, because next time I'm not going to forgive. Some little thing we would forget that Baba wanted it this way, or some mistake, and Baba would look angry, and then this was all to make us remember next time. To remember to do something means to remember him. And then he would say, now next time I won't forgive, but he did. And every time, and that gesture, that sweeping, vast, tremendous forgiveness, that was something to experience every time.
Tim, how did you first hear of Baba?
Through Billy.
Through Billy? How many years ago?
Went out to coffee. I was back to astrology and all that occult things. And we went out to coffee one night. A friend of mine knew her. And she played dance class at night. We used to sculpture. Her class was before mine and mine, our class person. And we went out to coffee and she started talking.
You were teaching dancers?
No, I was studying dance.
You were studying?
I was a dancer, and she was studying. And then I went away for the summer on a tour, and she kept on sending me literature about Baba all summer. Every day I did something. And I used to get the family letters, because she would get them, and then she would send them on to me. And I'd read them. You know, I wasn't really that much into Baba yet, but then slowly I would just read them. I didn't know why I was reading them. And he would give instructions on what to do. One time he gave instructions to keep silent or fast. I did it. I didn't know why I was doing it. I had no idea why I was doing it. One time I was flying. We were going from one city to another because I was on a tour.
Yes.
And the fast was, I forget the date. And I fasted. Everybody on the plane was eating. But I don't know why I did it. I really don't know why I did it. But I did it.
That is the dilemma. I don't know why I came to him, but I did come.
Now, like this young Baba lover, after Baba dropped his body in 1969, he's from north of India, and he told us afterwards, he didn't know why people were doing, Baba lovers were doing what they were doing, but he followed them and did. So when they came to Maharajad, and nobody was explaining things to him because it was quite a number, and they all seemed to know, but he was new. And they went up Seclusion Hill. So he went up, he didn't know why they were going up, so he went. And then they were picking up stones, rocks. And he said, I don't know why they're doing that, but he did it also. And he had the stone in his hand. And then soon after that he stumbled, and that rock fell from his hand, and it split in two. And he picked it up, and there was a perfect picture of Baba on the stone. And he said, all right, Baba, now I know why. And he took it with him. And later he had a little pamphlet printed for friends and those around in that place and said, telling the story, and said, anybody who won't believe me, please come to my house. Anybody's welcome and be very happily welcome. Come and see this. But I think it was one of the first things where you could see Baba's picture clearly, because since then it's just happened so often. Now we almost take it for granted. You look at a wall, you sit at the breakfast table, and we can see through into the kitchen, and on the kitchen wall, on the bricks, was just perfect picture of Baba. You sit outside on the veranda and look at, in the evening time, look at the trees and the leaves swaying in the breeze, and forming a shadow on the walls, and it's a perfectly beautiful, such a perfectly molded image of Baba. And yet, next day, in the same place, at the same time, in the same circumstances, it's not there. Or you spill milk or water and say, oh dear, now I've spilled this water. Then you look down and wonder when you're going to mop it up, and there you see a formation of Baba's face. And you don't want to mop it up. You want to lap it up. And everyone, not just here. You know, we have in letters and people who come, they say.
What about the shoes, the soles of the shoes?
Yes, Arsenio, Puerto Rico.
They have kept them there in Puerto Rico.
Was it Arsenio's mother?
Yes.
You heard that?
I don't remember the whole thing. Something she wasn't sure if I don't know if you do you remember what
you tell us. We only remember the letter is there with us. It's saying that she has preserved those shoes, you see, and having the two pictures of Baba there on the sole itself.
I think she was unsure as to whether Baba was God or not.
Something like
and that. She has a great love for Jesus, and so she was struggling within herself to know if Baba was Jesus. And I think she picked up her slippers and they were turned over, and on one slipper was a picture of Jesus and on the other slipper was a picture of Baba. And then she knew.
That's right.
It was here in Ahmednagar it happened.
It was here.
Before
you know,
even on the very
here,
day, on the very day that she was leaving, she got this.
Then she knew.
So,
yeah.
And in all these little happenings, Baba makes us feel so sure that it's Baba. It's not just accidental, not anybody else related to anything else, but Baba. It's because his signature is on the happening. There's a particular touch of humor or a particular twist to it, which is can be.